Hi, welcome to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm your host, Tom Nielsen. And as they say in the Old West, hello there, cowboys and cowgirls. Today's podcast is about horses. Now here's some trivia for you. According to some random posting on the internet, of which I am not 100% certain, these days you can never be too sure, even with fact-checking. Well, anyway, here's some trivia about horses. Did you know that horses cannot breathe through their mouths? Or that horses have 10 different muscles in their ears? Or that horses have a nearly 360-degree field of vision? Bet you didn't know that. But here's one thing that you probably did know. Horses can sleep standing up. Why they would want to do that, I haven't the foggiest. Here they have a comfy bed of straw, a horse blanket, and all that, and they still insist on sleeping on their feet. Go figure. So as I said, today we're going to talk about horses. And that brings to mind those early days growing up, when my parents took me to a picnic somewhere out in the country, where they were offering pony rides. To this day, I still have a faded black and white picture in the old family photo album, showing me on the pony, looking rather undecided about the whole experience. Back in those days, in the mid-1950s, as you probably know, Western movies were the big thing on TV. Hopalong Cassidy, Roy Rogers, and, of course, The Adventures of the Lone Ranger! No matter what channel you turn to, chances were good that you'd find a Western to watch, or as some folks lovingly called them, horse operas. Later on in the 1960s, we also had a very famous horse with his own sitcom.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
Remember that? Well, back in those days, Mr. Ed was one of my favorite TV shows. There were times, I'm sure, that I probably asked my old man if he could convert the garage into a barn so I could have my own talking horse. I don't think he'd like that idea very much. After all, where would he keep his 1951 Buick?
Yeah.
Horses, of course, were such an important part of the great American mystique. We are known all over the world for our obsession with life on the range, even though most of us were probably living in cities far away from the Western frontier. Some Europeans, in fact, were so brainwashed by our Western movie propaganda that they were sometimes visibly disappointed when our American tourists showed up in France or Italy and they weren't wearing cowboy hats or riding a horse.
What?
Nowadays, if you happen to go out to one of those hundreds of horse shows that are held every year around the country, you'd probably be amazed by what a large cottage industry this has become. There are usually dozens of vendors selling costumes that will make you look like a rhinestone cowboy, companies selling fancy saddles and other leather goods, artists specializing in horsey portraits done in oil paint or watercolor. You name it, they've got it. And for quite an expensive price tag, of course. I remember one time my uncle took me to a rodeo in Bayonne, New Jersey, of all places. You have to understand, Bayonne is not exactly Tucson, Arizona. It's more like Jersey City or Hoboken or even Brooklyn, New York. But anyway, there we were, watching these bronco busters, rodeo clowns and such, as they did their amazing feats of horsemanship. They made it look so easy, I tell you. It never occurred to me just how much skill was required to operate a four-legged vehicle like that. Of course, horses are known for their lightning-fast reflexes, so you have to be really fast on your feet or in the saddle to be able to maneuver those animals to do the incredible things they do.
Unbelievable.
And that, my friends, will play into a story that I have for you today that we'll get to in just a moment. But first, a few more interesting nuggets of horse trivia. Did you know that there was a Marx Brothers movie called Horse Feathers? It sounds like it should be a movie about horse racing, right? Well, actually, that was Day at the Races. Horse Feathers, on the other hand, is the Marx Brothers' takedown of the institution of college football. Without giving away too much of the ending, the horse only enters the picture at the very end of the movie when Harpo Marx helps Huxley College get the winning touchdown at the very last minute with an extremely funny, unexpected maneuver on the gridiron. And horse feathers, the title of a movie you may be interested to learn, comes from the slang expression that means horse droppings, horse hockey, or, pardon my French, bullshit.
Ew!
Speaking of French, this is not to be confused with horse doovies. You know, those fancy finger foods that they serve up at very posh parties like the horsey set often have for cotillions and debutante balls. You know, miniature quiches, hot dogs wrapped up in pastry dough, baby corn, deviled eggs. Oh, excuse me. I'm told that the correct term is hors d'oeuvres, not horse doobies. It's a very easy mistake to make, don't you think? Well, anyway, let's get back to that story that I promised you earlier. Let's fast forward a few years from the early days of kids and pony rides to the adult version of that recreational sport. This took place on one ill-fated summer vacation when I got together with my old friends from high school. At the time, I happened to be working in West Virginia and had made the 10-hour car ride home to New Jersey so that I could visit my folks, as well as dropping in at the big event of the decade, the celebration of the bicentennial in New York Harbor. Well, I had some time to kill, so I called up my old high school buddies who were also in town for the weekend. Normally, we'd all just pile into a car and go out cruising somewhere. This time, one of them suggested doing something different. Drew, who was riding shotgun on this trip, suggested going out to the Watchung Mountains. Apparently, he'd taken up a new hobby, horseback riding, and wanted to share it with all of us. So we drove down Route 22 and then headed up the hill to the Watchung Reservation Stables. It was kind of a gray day with the possibility of some rain in the forecast, but that didn't stop us. So each of us, with a little help from the stable hands, mounted our respective horses and set off on the trail for what started out to be a leisurely ride through the woods. There were about a half a dozen or more people in our group, led by a more experienced rider at the front of the pack. All was well so far, until suddenly the heavens began to open up. A light rain began pouring down at first, but the way these storms came and went, there was a good chance for a sizable downpour in just a few more minutes. So the lead rider decided it was better to get back to the stables, and quickly. She kicked her horse into a minor gallop with the rest of the pack following suit. We then found ourselves rushing madly through the woods, ducking numerous overhanging branches and hopping up and down on our saddles like the Energizer Bunny. My problem was, never having had any horseback riding lessons, I was a total rookie at this. I didn't know that I was not supposed to sit on the saddle when the horse is galloping. So by the time we all dismounted back at the stables, I was one hurtin' cowboy. But that wasn't the worst part of this, friends. The very next day, I was experiencing so much pain in my posterior that all I could do was lie on the couch in the living room watching TV. The bicentennial parade of the tall ships was happening at that very moment in New York Harbor, and I was reduced to lying very, very still on an enormous ice pack. There I was, stuck at home, missing all the action. But even that wasn't the worst of it, because the very next day, I was supposed to depart for West Virginia to return to work. Needless to say, that was one of the most painful commutes in my entire life. Sitting on my tuchus for 10 solid hours was a form of torture that rivaled any cruel punishment that they ever came up with in the dark dungeons of the Middle Ages. Well, as Shakespeare once said, all's well that ends well. But in this case, my rear end wasn't feeling very well at all. They also say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't slow him down once he gets a taste of it. Okay, I just made that one up. But after that painful experience with horses, I resolved to never saddle up again. Let the singing cowboys do all the riding. I'll be content to just sit back in my swivel chair and do podcasts for the rest of my life. Just not on a horse. Aww. You've been listening to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm Tom Nielsen. Happy trails, y'all. Hi, this is Tom Nielsen. If you enjoyed this podcast, you're invited to hear more of our episodes at A Look Behind and Rewind. And feel free to share our link with friends, family, and others, as well as following us on Buzzsprout.com, Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts.